But yesterday, I don't know if you jumped in on this when you got home yesterday, but we have returned to space. Yesterday, the country, nay, the world, was mesmerized by the launching from Cape Canaveral down there in Florida of Artemis II, as we sent four astronauts beyond Earth. They are currently orbiting the Earth, where they will orbit for the next couple of days, and then they will slingshot out of Earth's gravitational pull towards the moon, where they will go around the backside of the moon and use its gravity as a slingshot to come back to Earth. It is a 10-day total mission, and it will mark the deepest into space that humans have ever been. Farther from Earth and closer to the moon than any human has ever been in over a half century, they will go further past the moon than Apollo 17 did the last time that we went to the moon. 1972 is the last time that anybody went even close to the moon.
So that does sound a little weird that you landed on the moon and then it's taken so long to even get back
to
close to it. Like, yeah, you did it. So what's taking so long?
I don't know what's taking so long, but apparently this mission, the reason why they're doing this is they're basically sending them out as guinea pigs, as they want to focus on the health. And there's a lot of studies for the equipment, the rocket that they use, that whole type of thing. And they're getting a glimpse into how deep space travel influences the human body, mind, and behavior. So we, of course, are way, the technology that we have now, it you can't even compare 50 years ago. So some of the things that they're going to do, they're wearing these monitors called Archers, which will help them to study their well-being, activity, and sleep patterns to learn more about human health and performance in deep space. An investigation that they have called an Avatar will use organ-on-a-chip devices to study the effects of increased radiation and microgravity on their health. They will also have immune biomarkers, so when they get back, they will analyze blood and saliva to see how deep space changes the immune system.
So if they come back after 10 days and when they spit on the ground, it doesn't just fall down. It just kind of floats. Like, it still has some gravity. No, that's not how it works.
It could be. Who knows what happens on the dark side of the moon? They lose radio contact completely when they're on the back side of the moon. There could be an alien spaceship waiting for them.
And if
it replaces them with clones.
And if you have a mission to where you, as you explained it to me, they're kind of guinea pigs because you really just don't know how everything is going to go on this. I wonder how willing astronauts are to do things like that. Like, the whole goal, I'm pretty sure, is to, man, yeah, let's go to space and see and explore. But one of those trips to where you're kind of throwing your hands up going, yeah, I don't know. We're going and exploring waters that we haven't ever before. And I wonder if people are way into it more than you would think when this thing first happened.
I bet they're excited about it because we have had astronauts go around the moon before, of course, but not as deep as they're going. I mean, they're slightly deeper than another craft had gone before. And with the technology we have available to us, they say that on the journey, they will fly by the side of the moon that always faces away from Earth. It's a 3-hour period where they will analyze and photograph geological features such as impact craters and ancient lava flows and rely on extensive geology training that will have information that we'll be able to pull from this that will be critical for when we explore the moon's south pole region and future missions. Like, this is all to help us learn, okay, what do we need to change? What do we need to do so that we can stay out there longer, go back to the moon and actually land on the moon with the idea that we could build something on the moon to then go to Mars. But they got to do these steps first. But this whole thing to me is it's fascinating. It's fascinating just the fact that they got off the Earth. So the launch, they had two solid rocket boosters that generated 3.6 million pounds of thrust each. You can't turn them off. So once they were lit, they have to burn until they're empty.
Has to be so intense.
Each booster burns through 1.1 million pounds of propellant in 120 seconds, generating more power than the entire electrical grid of most countries.
So some people will freak out if you're taking off on a plane, on an airplane.
Dude.
just imagine the force that that takes to generate the speed and power that it does to get you up into space.
They, by the time it hits 2 minutes into after launch yesterday, they were traveling at 3,000 miles an hour. A single engine
burn.
It's like
a tollway.
Pretty much. There's no speed limit. So they say that once they get to where they're going to aim towards the moon to get what they needed to go into orbit and all that, it's a single engine burn lasting a few minutes that accelerates them to the escape velocity of 25,000 miles per hour.
Damn.
Like that's, I mean, it's incredible.
My favorite part of probably any movie ever is Apollo 13.
When they're launching?
When they have, no, they have to keep the Earth in the window.
Oh, that's right.
And you have the little joystick that
right.
You have to keep the Earth in the window. Man, I'm telling you, I'm at the edge of my seat every time.
It's a tense scene.
It is
every
a tense
time.
Scene.
And I've seen this movie 1,000 times. And it's probably my favorite sequence in a movie ever. I may watch it tonight.
So they say that when they re-enter 10 days from now, re-entry begins 400,000 feet above the Pacific Ocean. The heat shield on the Artemis faces temperatures of 5,000 degrees Fahrenheit, which is hot enough to melt copper and close to the surface temperature of the sun. Atmospheric friction converts 25,000 miles per hour as they come back into the Earth into thermal energy that would vaporize the spacecraft without the carbon composite barrier between you and the physics. Parachute deployment will happen. It's split second, has to be completely right. If they deploy too early, the chute shred in the hypersonic airflow. If they deploy too late, of course, they would impact the ocean at terminal velocity. They slow down, if they work right, from 300 miles an hour to 20 miles per hour in less than 10 seconds. Like in seconds. And the deceleration compresses your spine and tests the limits of what the human body can take physiology-wise. It's incredible. All this stuff with this... And this captures the imagination if you're a little older, maybe, and maybe if you're younger, you're into this as well, but we talked about this before when they used to roll televisions into classrooms and we'd all watch space shuttle launches. And there's something about going to space and we just haven't really been, I mean, we put astronauts in orbit, they go to the International Space Station, but going to the moon just seems different.
It does, but you feel like any type of launch like that should be celebrated and watched. If you have TVs or it's available to roll the TVs out in school. And just the living conditions, just looking and checking out everything that's going to happen while they're aboard and how small of a space that they're in.
It's tiny.
Yeah, the things that they're just trying to accomplish while up there is... I don't know, man. I've never really just been all into it. It hasn't interested me that much. But then when you start just thinking about what it takes to survive up there and all the split second decisions you have to make. Yep. If you make one wrong move, then
you're gone.
It's done.
And you live in space forever.
Right. You're just never heard from again.
Right.
And the chances that they're taking, it was, I think, I can't remember if I was saying this on this program or not, but it was the first time in a long time I heard someone ask a kid what they wanted to be when they grew up. I'm trying to remember what the kid said, but I know when we were coming up, astronaut was a big deal,
a
huge occupation for a lot of kids.
Yes.
When they wanted to grow up, fireman, policeman, astronaut.
Yeah, it was viewed as one of the, like a hero.
Right, right.
One of the, space.
And I don't know if that's viewed like that anymore. I don't know.
Doubt it. I seriously doubt it now.
But this is getting a lot of run and a lot of burn, and it should.
So the four-person crew is Reed Wiseman, who's the commander, Victor Glover, who is the pilot, Christina Koch, who is the mission specialist, and Jeremy Hansen, who's a Canadian, but also a mission specialist. So I guess we had to involve Canada, since they're going to be the 51st state, I guess. We had to make sure they felt included.
Because there are no showers up there. They use liquid soap, water, and rinseless shampoo.
Dude, I remember as a kid, and I mentioned this before, but my parents, because we lived in Florida for a while, not too far from Cape Canaveral. And so it's in Titusville, Florida. So my parents once, we went and watched a space shuttle launch because you sit across the bay or whatever it is, a cape, and you watch it launch. And I'll never, it was incredible. Like even as a little kid, it's so powerful. It's so bright. The smoke is incredible. The exhaust as it's going up. And then of course you go to the Space Center and you can tour around. And I thought it was the coolest thing. My mom and dad. Me and my brother, we got, it was Neapolitan ice cream that they would eat on the space shuttle, but of course it's dehydrated. So it was and I remember it was like a wafer, kind of weird. And I used to think that was the coolest thing. Like, I mean, astronaut ice cream. But all that stuff with astronaut in space was always so cool when you were a kid. Then, of course, you grow up, you realize you're too tall to be an astronaut. I want to maybe still try to be one, but I can't.
Like still right now?
I'd love to go to space. Like if we could space travel and it was cool, like if we could ever do a remote on the moon, how great would that be?
So you're going to take the commercial flight when it's available and affordable?
Affordable, yes. Available.
Well, yeah, that's why I added that part.
But yeah, if I could go like American Airlines space and it's like like flying to San Diego or something, yeah, that'd be awesome.
It's just kind of weird the fact that you've taken so long to actually go and land on the moon. As you did it with all the technology and everything that we have available now, it seems like it would be easy.
There's nothing up there.
And also, we haven't been like killing it at space travel for the past 30 years.
I know, but if you can accomplish that when they did it, it feels like it would be way easier to do it now. Does that make sense?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the technology is much better. I just think it had to, again, we created this thing called Space Force, so now there's that. And so I think that the idea that they actually want to try to go to Mars for whatever reason, and you have to have some viable ability to build something on the moon, that would help the trip, as we're seeing. I mean, it takes a while to get to the moon, so they want to build stuff on, and maybe the powers that be are finally realizing, like, holy crap, we legit are destroying the Earth. We got to find something.
Like, what's the first thing that they would build?
I don't know.
Nice hotel?
Starbucks.
Yeah. Maybe whoever sponsors it. It'll be the moon brought to you by Starbucks. Like, whoever wants to buy the moon. And then at night, when we look up, you'll see the logo
like on top of AT&T Stadium.
Right, yeah. It'll be like the ball at Reunion Tower, where they'll make it light up like a certain logo.
What are we going to do with all this real estate they've sold on the moon? There's that website that let you buy like a $100 plot.
Man, coverage should be awesome. Every time you need a signal, you hold your phone up in the air to see if you can get a better signal.
Yeah.
You should be able to talk without even dialing a phone up there.
I mean, it's going to be, I think the next 25 years is going to be fascinating if they get this going in space travel, and can we get to Alpha Centauri and what that could look like, because it's only 4 light years away.
If it's taken this long in between to even think about landing on the moon again, I feel like that's a whole ways away.
Yeah, but you got to start somewhere, Donnie, and we're starting today. We're going to the moon.
Have we had sex in space yet?
No, me
and
you.
Well, you and I haven't once yet, so let's think about this for a minute.
And thank you.
I just think maybe, of all the experiments, that would be one of them, right?
Yeah, like you'd have to know, does blood flow help? Can you still work down there? Is it possible if there's no gravity, can you propel yourself?
As far as the action.
It just shoots you backwards.
It's just like, jeez. Like,
well, in that one particular, it probably does. Just this one. Ooh.
There you go. Hold on.
It's just so long.
It's so frustrating. You just give up. Like, never mind. What is wrong with you guys?